From the boardroom to the locker room, sport captures the imagination like little else. In this podcast, we talk to the men and women who make the big decisions and those who make the big plays to find out where sport is and, importantly, where it's going. But we do so through the only eyes that matter, those of the fan. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Goal Own Goal. Twice in quick succession, we are back. And joining me, as always, because it wouldn't be Goal Own Goal without him, is the man heading to Serie A, Roger Mitchell. Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Good to see you so early in the morning. We are getting used to these early morning ones. I'm fine. I'm fine. you're writing this week, so thank you for doing this. What are you on this week? Just give us a flash.
I'm writing about Argentina, Rog, the land of Maradona and all sorts of political and economic basket casery.
Well, they've done very well since he's come in, as far as I understand. Inflation's down, everything like that.
Well, I exactly right. The title of my piece is An Inconvenient Goof.
That's very cute,
so
my friend.
It is an interesting story.
Very, very cute.
Don't believe the headlines is all I would say.
Right, okay. Well, listen, do you want to start or shall I?
No, I'm going to start, but you're going to do all the heavy lifting because one of my goals is obviously Como and what happened on, I guess it was Friday night.
Friday.
And you were there, so I'm dying to hear all about this. I saw the little clips with Cesc in the changing rooms afterwards, and it just looked magnificent. So just take your time, walk us through the whole thing.
I was there with Vitoire, who owns the women's team, separately owned through Mercury 13, which is a fund focused only on women's football. So I was there with her and her co-founder and somebody else. And... We were at the game, and you know, it was lovely beforehand, the usual thing. There was Dennis Wise was there, who was just delightful, completely the opposite of what you would think, completely the opposite. And then Thierry Henry was in the stand, and was introduced to him, and he's just so lovely, Grant, just a gentleman. You know, I made a bit of a gaffe. You know, you get into fanboy stuff a little bit. And he's sitting there, and he's a very striking man. And I'm introduced to him just as Roger, nothing else. You know, like, why would I be anything else? And he stands up, and he offers me his hand. He says, "I'm Thierry," you know. And I said to him, "Do you think I don't know that, Thierry?" You know, like, anything else, nice to meet you, everything, like, nothing, you know, like, because I was just blown away the fact that he stood up to shake my hand, as he did with everybody. I saw him do it with everybody, just very, very amazing manners. So, game starts, you know, obviously everybody's up for it. Remember the scenario.
Now, just set the scene for the people that don't know, what needed to happen?
They were 2 points ahead of Venezia, so if Como win, they're up. If they get a draw and Venezia win, Venezia's get better goal difference, so they would fall into the playoff positions. So really, really tense. And I look at the team sheet, and their best player, Como's best player, Verdi, who played for the Italian national team as well, isn't playing. So I immediately think, oh no. And in fact, Como, through a combination of that and just nerves, have a horrendous first half. You know, couldn't trap a bag of cement, that bad, you know. And Cosenza from the south, they score, and it's 1-0. And we're going to half time, and Como's in the playoffs, they're not going up. And the vibe is not good. It's not good. And anyway, you know, it's Verdi comes on in the second half, and this is the beauty of football. The music starts differently immediately. You know, like this he's an old number 10 player, akin to Roberto Mancini, a Kenny Dalglish, and he's got the touch, and you could just see him lifting every single other player in the team. But they need two goals. They need to win. they get one back pretty soon. They're all over them. And then the word goes around in the stadium that Venezia are not only not winning, they're actually losing. They had gone from one up to 2-1 down. So Como are in Serie A, and Venezia need two goals to turn that around. So there wasn't the element of, oh my God, you know, this could change in a minute. Venezia's opponents needed two goals, which they never got one of them. No, Venezia needed two goals and they didn't get either of them. So they went up and, you know, everybody was super buzzing after 20 years. Couldn't get out of the stadium. They invaded the pitch. The poor souls from Serie B that had this little presentation, you know, the one they do these days with the fireworks and everything, couldn't get it done because everybody invaded the pitch. And it was just great. You know, like then the streets afterwards, it was like, you know, winning a World Cup game and things like that. It was just packed. So Como in Serie A, which was amazing, really amazing.
Fantastic. And so you know, what's the prognosis for next year, Roger? Is it a straight back down job or have they got a chance?
They need significant surgery to that team, Grant. Significant surgery. Certainly from what I saw in the first half without Verdi, they played the long ball a lot. There was not a lot of quality on the field. But that's what you expect. Serie B is a league you need to get out of. You know, it's a battler's league. You'll be familiar with that, Grant. And now they have to get going. But the good thing is, you know, like they've got Fabregas there, they've got Dennis Wise, they've got Thierry Henry, they've got major backing. It's going to be one hell of a summer. I don't know who's going to turn up here, but I could be expecting anybody. But the thing was, it was just full of international people. I was there. That third person was Elia Luco, you know, the girl presenter on, I think it's BT Sport, 100 caps for England's women's team. She was getting stopped every second for selfies by fans, you know, to give you an idea of how many English people were there. And, you know, you get the feeling that Como's going to be a little bit the way Sampdoria was in the 90s for British people that tuned into Serie A with the Channel 4 stuff. I think Como's going to get that kind of that idea of being everybody's favourite team. You know, let's hop over for the weekend, catch the game, go to Milan, you know, a drink on the lake, on the boat, all that kind of stuff. You know, and to come back to Vitoire, Mercury 13 are also in Serie A. As the women's team, and you know, so it's going to be a bit of a place next year, I think.
Yeah, terrific. You know, it's got everything that a football team needs in this modern age, right, Roger? It's got a beautiful stadium in a beautiful city. It's selfie-tastic. There's a lot of photo opportunities for people. There's a lot of star power around it, a lot of celebrity power around it. It's in a glitzy place. I mean, it's got everything going for it except potentially the football team. So we'll see if they can do anything with that.
Oh, they need a lot of work. They need a lot of work. So that's Como. I woke up this morning looking at my news feeds and everything like that, and you got to laugh. And what's that phrase? You know, like when the tide goes out. So this morning we've got the news that the leader of the Liguria government, Liguria is where Genoa is, that region of Italy. He's been taken away in handcuffs this morning. And the reason it's a sports story is that the person who was allegedly corrupting him is the ex-owner of Genoa, which is the other team in Genoa itself, as well as Sampdoria. A certain Aldo Spinelli, famous for, let's say, pushing the envelope in his football management of the club back in the day. It's just so funny. You know, like you wake up and you say, welcome to Italy. So Totti has been taken away in handcuffs because the corruption around the port of Genoa, which is a huge port, Spinelli kind of like owns the port of Genoa and basically was giving him a lot of money to make sure that he owned the port, he owned the beaches around the port and everything like that. But there's always the little kicker here. Totti's also accused, I'm translating here, of electoral corruption, which he would have committed by facilitating the activities of Cosa Nostra. In particular, the clan Camarata, in terms of how he got elected. So what's going on here? You're doing this Argentinian stuff here, it's all the same stuff these days. I get about getting elected in democracies. So, you know, in Italy, it's quite common, the idea that, you know, the mafia have got control of people and how they vote. And there is a price tag. There is a spot rate for your vote when you go into the election booth. And, you know, I've never really worked out how they can control it, but it's something along the lines of, you know, they have to take a photo of where they put the X on the sheet with their phone, something like that. And then they present it to, you know, the man, and he gives them money. Anyway, so Totti is going down, I think. Spinelli looks like he's going down. And Genoa, the club itself, is part of the 777 multi-club organisation, MCO. MCO, as it's known these days. We mentioned 777 last week, so I don't think we can need to do it a lot. But, you know, Genoa is one of them. I think another one is Standard Liège. Yesterday, they had a major issue about 777. I believe they didn't allow the players to go on the field or something like that. That's totally unraveling. By the time this goes out, this will be clear, but we're recording this very early on Monday morning, and the word in the industry is that Everton are going to administration today, which is dramatic.
Really?
Yeah, that is the word on the street. You know, obviously now they're going to be bought by somebody. They've not got any money. 777 are still dripping in some money, I've been told. But the smart people are saying Everton's going into administration.
Interesting. Now, can I ask you where you will stand on that, given your attitude towards Rangers?
Now, Rangers got liquidated. They didn't go into administration. They got liquidated.
Two different things.
But on Rangers, I've got this other one. A guy sent it to me yesterday. I think I put you on copy on this. You won't know this. The listeners won't know this. But Celtic, I've got a celebrity fan. Again, coming back to the glories of democracy these days in Europe and in the world. The guy who is the president of Albania, who's an old bloke. I can't remember his name, but he has been, for some bizarre reason, an avid Celtic fan for years and years and years. Famously so. He's an old boy. Imagine somebody who looks about 80 and he's got his whole Celtic kit on. He's watching the game in Tirana, and obviously Celtic give them a doon yesterday and you know, we basically win the league, and he's right up for it in front of the TV. Hail, hail. Hail. You think the world has gone rocker, office rocker. Did you see it?
I did. Well, I saw the clip that you sent me. Very funny.
Very, very, very funny.
Very funny.
It's a bizarre world. It's a bizarre world. So that was, well, you. Roger, that was let's, yours.
Let's stick with football, because when you were talking about 777 and Genoa and Stanley Age, The phrase that came to mind was "when it rains, it pours," and that's a perfect segue into Man United yesterday.
That is so classy.
We watched the game, and you know, obviously it's an important game and it's a big game. Arsenal Man United is always a big game.
Nineties. Yep.
Given the thumping that Palace put on Man United during the week, which was, I mean, I was shocked at that. And we've spoken about that. But, you know, you expect Man United to be fired up for this. And I watched the Arsenal-Man United game yesterday. Arsenal were very, very average. Very average. Didn't really get after it. But really, at no point were they under any pressure from this Man United team. It unfortunately is. Now, look, they've got a bunch of injuries, obviously. There's no Rashford, there's no Fernandes. They're struggling with centre-backs. But to see at the end of the game the rain pouring through the roof, and, you know, the water feature they've got there at the in the corner of the pitch with the massive waterfall, it's, if ever there was a metaphor
for a football team
or a football club, I mean, it was absolutely shocking, Rog. And just to watch the whole thing, just to watch how quickly the team has fallen apart, the stadium seems to be falling apart, you know, at every level in that club. And we've talked about this before, but the problems are now so obvious as to be impossible to ignore.
No, I agree with you. It was the perfect metaphor. It was sent, I think, all round everybody's DMs yesterday, last night. And for those that haven't seen it, it's dramatic. You know, there is rivers of water going through the stand where the seats are. It was the perfect metaphor. I watched the game yesterday. I was actually quite angry with Arsenal because, you know, no matter how bad the team you're playing is, you know, in the last 5 minutes when you're defending a lead, anything can happen. You know, I think Arsenal really should have, you know, closed that game down, but they didn't. And it's just, United are just so bad. Those injuries, you know, injuries happen when people can't be bothered. Many players that are 50-50 in an injury, great teams with great leaders, those people will go on the pitch and it's the opposite when they don't give a shit. You know, Casemiro not getting out for that first goal. Just hurt. This guy's on about 400 grand a week, Grant. They paid 70 million for him. He's got another 2 years. I mean, this isn't going to be easy to unwind. The stadium needs massive work. You don't know who's calling the shots. I just think it's, you know, I looked at that thing and when you see the water coming through what's the Field of Dreams, now called the Field of Streams. The brand is taking a hit and everybody says it's always United. But let me take you back to the brands like Yves Saint Laurent or Pierre Cardin in the 80s when the licensing went through the roof and, you know, before you knew it, it was the naffest thing in the world to be associated with Yves Saint Laurent on your belt.
Burberry's the other one as well.
Burberry's the other one, yeah. Got to be careful, United. Got to be careful. You know, especially these days, you know, I did the column yesterday about, you know, how it all works on Instagram and everything like that. Got to be careful these days. It's not as sticky as it used to be, I don't think. But I don't know what they do with that club and I don't know who's calling the shots. Can't see how Ten Hag is still there, but he still is. He's still coming out with nonsense post-match excuses. But, you know, it's... I don't know what's in his head, you know, but this is a big theme, I think, Grant, you know, coaches these days. I think Ten Hag did a great job at Ajax. You know, that team that nearly got to the Champions League and they were just knocked out by Spurs, I think, great, great team. You know, he comes to United and just a disaster. He behaves, you know, badly, can't, you know... defensive. I don't understand it. There's others like that. It's one of my little themes this morning. You know, Allegri, the manager of Juventus, completely a busted flush now. The reason he's still there is that Juventus can't afford to sack him. That's the truth. That's the reason he's still there. I think he's on about 8 million a year. They can't afford to sack him. They give him a big long-term contract when... You know, the whole thing with the Agnelli thing, he had to leave. The new people panicked, brought in the old guard of Allegri and gave him a long contract. And then you see the young kids. Grant, I don't know what your view is about this, but, you know, Bologna is in the Champions League next year. I mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago. They have got Thiago Motta as their coach, an amazing young coach doing really radical things tactically. You know, we've mentioned Leverkusen and Xavi Alonso before, another young man, same generation, same type of footballer. You've got Atalanta, the coach is an older guy, but, you know, Atalanta, you know, in the final of the Europa League, in the final of the Italian Cup, the poster child, without doubt, of the last... 15 years about how to take a provincial club that was doing nothing and take them 2 or 3 levels up. So I just wonder what big clubs do now in terms of what coaches they get, because getting it wrong is so expensive. Like Juventus have got it wrong, like Man United. It's so hard to unravel. And you know, there's going to be a summer of major, major decisions, I think, at Chelsea, at United. Klopp's gone. You know, these younger ones are going to be... I just think it's going to be a big, big summer of people deciding what they want to be in life.
Well, it's interesting, you know, just sticking with Man United. we spoke about this at the time when Ratcliffe was formally unveiled as the minority owner, Rog. I don't know if... He's a smart and savvy man and a savvy businessman, there's no doubt. But he's also a fan. And we've talked about this so many times about what being a fan does to you, right? And And you have to wonder if he really knew what the hell he was taking on when he bought a big stake in his boyhood football club. Because to your point, right, the amount of overhaul that needs doing from sticking a new roof on the stadium, which doesn't come cheap, to overhauling the entire team and the club infrastructure from top to bottom, that's a big, big ask. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he has that. As for Ten Hag and his press conferences, which I agree, they get weirder every week. It's almost like he's become and decided that being a politician is the way to go, Rog. I'm just going to say everything's fine. No matter what you throw at me, I'm just going to say everything's fine. And it's just this bizarre, when you hear him talking about this, oh, I thought we did very well. You're like, but after three or four of those, you go, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe they're a great team. They were just unlucky. But he's definitely going down that road.
Pressure is a strange thing.
Bizarre. Well, listen, talking to Manchester, did you see amidst the thumping that Man City gave the Mighty Whites at Craven Cottage, which was...
We were all counting on you to keep the league out.
Listen, I know. I said... This game will either be 0-0 or we'll get thumped 4-0. If we give an early goal away, it'll be over. And sure enough, 13 minutes in, we give up a goal and that was it. We're never going to chase Man City and beat them. It's not going to happen. I think we've lost 16 straight games to them or something, Rod. So anyway, never mind. But did you see Noel Gallagher?
Yeah, it was funny. Not turning around. Just,
what
it
a fantastic funny. Visual.
It's a great visual.
And as soon as I saw that, and the caption on social media was, Noel Gallagher doesn't do the Poznan. Yeah. Just standing there. And I thought to myself, man, what an album cover that would make. And the next thing you see is all over the internet, all over Twitter, all over social media, I guess people mocking up an album cover of exactly that. Just Noel Gallagher looking forwards and the whole thing. I mean, it was just such a great image.
Oh, it was.
I thought it was just magnificent.
It was. And you know, City... They're always going to get, you know, the 115 charges and the money and everything like that. But every so often I remember that, you know, they are a great team and they play beautifully. And I think they need a little bit of credit. You know, if you look at their last results with the last 2.5 months, 3 months, they've just steamrolled it. They've decided, you know, this we're going to win this. And, you know, you've got it. Pep, I think, well, maybe not. You know, everybody says, oh, you just bought that. If other people have had money and have not done well, you know, Chelsea, United. Pep's done amazing things, I think. And, you know, you look at what they don't do is they don't seem to just fall apart. You know, if you look at those two amazing Champions League semi-finals, especially the one with Bayern Munich, you know, Tuchel had that game in the bag and he made what is universally considered the most horrendous substitutions, you know? I mean, what is he thinking? Capello on Italian TV, Capello is a nasty piece of work. As a pundit, he doesn't hold back. You know, like a schoolboy manager wouldn't make an error like this, he said, you know? So Pep doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Also because the ones I mentioned before, Thiago Motta, Xavi Alonso, they are all following his footsteps, the inverted fullbacks, versions of that, you know, the centre-backs moving into midfield like John Stones. You know, he has been an innovator and, you know, to see them these days is just fantastic, City, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's testament to them. You know, Arsenal have had one slip since the start of the year. You know, they lost to Aston Villa. That's it. That's the only slip they've had, and they're going to lose the title because of that, which just tells you how relentless Man City have been. You know, they've overhauled this deficit, and they've not at any point looked like giving up any points, let alone losing. So, sadly, I think Arsenal's are doomed to failure. But it is great to know that their fate lies in the hands of Tottenham. Yeah, I mean, you just got to love the irony.
It's football. That's the sport.
It's just amazing. Night, right? Is it tomorrow night or Wednesday?
It's tomorrow night. No, Tuesday. Normally we know what happens here. The rivals will not try a leg to help their you know. So normally Tottenham, like I remember famously Lazio and Roma were going for the title and Lazio were playing Inter Milan. And they needed to take points off them. And, you know, they were in the ground in San Siro, Lazio fans, with these huge banners. Oh dear, we've lost a goal. Big banner that said that. Oh dear, that's dreadful. You know, you know, like, I don't think it's like as bad as that in England. But that's, you can look it up. That's exactly what those banners were like. But this is the thing about Ange. I don't think Ange will play this game. I'm not saying they're going to beat City, because
It depends. If Villa lose tonight, Spurs can still get into the Champions League.
Yeah, right? But regardless, so I don't think he's a guy that plays these games. I think he's his own man, Ange. So, but you know, I think the title's done and dusted. City in this form aren't going to drop anything, I don't think. But
I don't think so either. But it'd be good. But it'd be good if it was a draw and it went down the last game with everything possible.
Right? Yeah, it would.
Goal difference and goals scored, and it's. Yeah. It's a good one. Anyway, what else you got for
us? Well, no, it's just still on this, because we can't pass this by talking about, when we're talking about so much about coaches, Carlo Ancelotti, who has developed this persona now of the fucking Cary Grant of association football. You know, like, how cool? You can't get any cooler than Carlo Ancelotti. You cannot get any cooler. You know, this...
Unflappable.
Well, it's unflappable, all the little comments he comes out now. You know, which he believes all of them. You know, he says, you know, the issue in the modern game is that too many coaches in possession try and tell their best players how to play. He says that's the antithesis of football. The whole idea is that you get the ball to your best players in possession, and then you say to them, get on with it. I've picked you because you've got talent that is rare. Get on with it. And he says that's how he does in Real. You know, like, we do a lot of work off the ball, like every team does now. We know what we're doing. But when we've got the ball, you just give it to the... This is very much the old Italian style. You know, like, you defended. You got the ball up the park to Baggio or Mancini or Vialli or Zola or anything like that, and do it. You're paid to do something. And, like, so him saying that publicly is funny. But he's got all these other wee things now. You know, like, there's this one that I saw on social media. There's this really pretty journalist, I don't know where she's from, who's interviewing him for UEFA after the game. And, you know, Italian guys will never change. You know, he says to her, he says, if you want, you can stay with us and the team in Madrid. You could celebrate with us tonight. and above it, you see the photo of this girl who is from a broadcaster called TNF. And the tweet is, we understand you, Carlo. Of course you're going to say that to this girl. Come and celebrate with us. The old fox. The old fox. Italy's still like that, man. It is still, whatever way you want to cut it, it's still like that. Funny.
Well, listen, let's switch sports. Let's go to golf, Rog, because I don't know if you saw it. I sat and watched the Wells Fargo final round last night, Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Xander Schauffele out in front by a mile, gets pegged back by Rory. Rory has a great round on Saturday, goes into the final round one shot behind. And they got to, I think, the seventh or eighth hole, and Rory made a mess of it, and he ends up being two shots behind as they go around the turn. Coming down the 18th fairway, he's seven shots in front. Just played magnificently. Double bogey the last, because he had it won, and he just, you know, made a couple of sloppy shots. But boy, did he play well. And to see him like that a week ahead of the PGA with Scheffler on fire. No. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm talking about the chance for three of the best players in the world to be on form at the same event. At a course that Rory's won at before. He's won a PGA there before back in 2014. I don't know, Rog. It could be an interesting week for golf. It's all I'm saying to you.
Right.
On the course as opposed to off it, which seems to be the standard place for golf these days.
I'm glad you brought up Rory a little bit. I'm struggling to follow all this now, Grant. You have to help me. So he's gone from being the poster child Sir Galahad of the PGA to basically not allowed in the room anymore. Tiger and Spieth and Cantley have basically told them, get lost. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
There's certainly one interpretation. Look, we don't know, but the Webb Simpson stepped off the board, and it was said in the media that Rory was going to take his spot again. Now, so we don't know if the media got ahead of themselves and there was a vote, but it seems as though he's been voted off, or he's been voted down. Tiger, Spieth and Cantley were the ones that were named as the ones saying no. I don't know. Rory seemed to take it on the chin. He didn't seem that energised about it. I suspect there's more to it, and they're, you know, it's an elected position ultimately, so it wasn't a position that they could just say we're going to give it to Rory. He has to be voted by his peers on the PGA Tour. So we'll see. I don't know what happens from here, but it's interesting. You know, we also saw this week Brandel Chamblee, who has been a massively outspoken critic of Liv. We saw him talking about getting a deal done, about finding a way to work together, and obviously, you've then had the people piling on saying, oh, you've changed your tune. But the simple reality is they need to get a deal done, because to your point, right, you're not following it really anymore.
No.
I'm not really following it anymore. I watched last night because Rory was in contention.
Yeah.
And it was two guys at the top of the good leaderboard behind them. It looked decent. That's why I watched it. But for me to kind of accidentally watch the PGA Tour tells you how far it's fallen. Because I would normally know exactly what's going on, and the chances are I would sit and watch it. But even I've lost my appetite for it, which is a real shame. And the majors, I'll watch the PGA this week for sure. But it's interesting.
Yeah, the thing with Rory, and I do hesitate this, because it's never right to keep kicking when you've been proven correct, I think. But you know, Rory's always struck me as being somebody with good intentions, somebody who feels the need to take a leadership position, which is a positive. World is short of leaders. But he doesn't realise he's not got the physique de rôle, as the French would say, for this. He doesn't have what it takes to be a leader. Always struck me as a little bit like Dan Quayle, you know, trying to say he was John Kennedy. And like this week, saying something absolutely correct, you know, we need to put this behind us. You know, we need to get back together again. He comes out with, we should think of golf as the troubles in Northern Ireland. I mean, and then I saw a lot of people who are traditionally Rory fans and traditionally PGA side of the argument saying, oh, come on, lad. Come on, you know, like Enniskillen, H Block, hunger strikes, dying, whatever, you know, Bloody Sunday, whatever way, you cannot compare the two. But for me, Grant, this is just classic Rory. He wants to be in a position that he's just not kitted out to hold. And when you see him being told by the three big boys now, look, laddie, fuck off, you know, because that's what happened. Somebody's not advising this boy correctly. I've said this for 6 years. Somebody's not advising him correctly, because I think he's a decent lad. He's a wonderful golfer, and he's just getting in the wrong rooms and saying the wrong things.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I saw that comment about the troubles, and the problem these days is, Roger, everybody just piles on, right? I mean, it's an analogy that he's made from someone that grew up in that part of the world. And, you know, he obviously made it on the spur of the moment. It's not like he sat up all night thinking about all the ways in which he can use this analogy.
You might be wrong there. That's my point. You might be wrong there.
Look, and if I am wrong, then yeah, it's very poorly chosen. But I suspect it was just something he said off the cuff, and it doesn't need to be blown up into this, you know, into what it became. But yeah, look, I mean, I think I don't know. I can't work out if he just wants to concentrate on his golf, or he does want to be in the thick of the action. I think if he just decided to concentrate on the format,
exactly,
he'd probably be serving himself better, I think, is the simple truth.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it does sound good, the PGA. This, so it's the three that you mentioned would be Koepka, Scotty, and Rory would be the three.
Assuming Scotty's wife has finally given birth. I mean, she seems to have been in labour for about a month.
She still hasn't given birth. She was due to pop Masters.
No, but every year at the Masters, someone's wife is within 3 months of giving birth, and they always make this thing about, oh, you're going to walk off if you...
Oh, God.
So, you know, as I understand, she hasn't given birth yet. So it was all just media nonsense about, oh, will you walk off during the final round and all that. It's just a great story. But he hasn't played since. Maybe she has given birth. I haven't seen it. But I'm sure he'll be back at the PGA next week, no matter what happens. But you know, it should be good. It's a good course. It's a good challenge. And you know, you got the top players in the world all playing well. It could be a good tournament. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
After the Masters, which is a bit of a procession, we could do with a nice close one.
Another thing that hit my feed last night more than this morning, but I kept it for this morning. You won't know this. You're not a tennis guy, and you're certainly not a female tennis guy, are you?
I identify as a... No, I don't.
You don't. Right, so there's this girl called Camilla Giorgi, who is an Italian woman player, who, you know, she's done well, you know, I don't know, top, whatever. She's now 33, so she's been on the circuit for, you know, you can do the maths, the arithmetic. And
20 years on women's tennis, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I saw in the report here, she's earned $6 million in prize money over that period, and double that in sponsorship. The thing is, she's quite a pretty girl. You know, think about...
How did I know that was coming?
No, I wouldn't say she's Kournikova, right, but that's the type, you understand, you know, like, that's the type. And, you know, she's never been big enough to get major attention, because nobody cares really about women's tennis, let's be honest. Sorry about that, but it's the truth. So what's the news then? So all of a sudden, she announces her retirement from tennis, which at 33, you'd say, what's the news there? Well, actually, the news is the way she announces her retirement, she disappears off the face of the earth. Nobody can find her, and the WTA say, we see on the list of people who are no longer active players, Camilla Giorgi's name is on that, so we assume she's retired. They don't know either. And the first version of what's happened is that she has gone and she's about to set up a female lingerie line. You know, like, this is her post-tennis career. You know, like, that makes sense, you know, like, and if you go on her Instagram account, you can see where that's heading. You know, retires from world tennis without a word to pursue lingerie. That's the headline from the New York Post. Of course, the real story comes out later. Camilla Giorgi, I'm translating from the Italians now, scomparsa, disappeared. You know, like, Camilla scomparsa, disappeared. The hypothesis of troubles with the tax man.
Ah, yes.
The Guardia di Finanza, which are these, that name, Guardia di Finanza, is something that throws a shiver through anybody that lives in this peninsula. Guardia di Finanza, if you see any correspondence with their logo or their name on it, you are in a world of pain, you know, because it's not like normal stuff. What a lot of these people do in the Guardia di Finanza is that they're, again, Charlie Munger incentives, they're bonused on how much taxes they can collect from people. You know what I mean? So the tax inspector will randomly come for people, it's also random, and say, we think you did A, B, C, and D. You've got a housekeeper. You've got a swimming pool. We see you're driving a new car and you've just taken out a mortgage. We assume you're evading tax if you're not declared. Here's a bill for 700 grand. And you say, okay. I'm not joking, Grant. And you say, what? And then obviously that means you have to get ready and say, no, 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 no. And you present that to them and they say, look, we can take this forward. This will cost you in accountants and legal fees $120,000. Pay us $90,000. and it goes away. It's a shakedown, Grant. It's a shakedown. It happens a lot. Happens a lot. So the word Guardia di Finanza is a horror show here in Italy. It's just, it's like, you know, Luca Brasi, like, knocking on your door and says, the Padrino wants a word. It's that bad. So lingerie model, setting up her own line. No, it's the tax man coming after her and she's done a runner. Nobody can find
the
her.
The tax man cometh.
No, nobody can find her anywhere in the world. Camilla Giorgi, if anybody sees her.
The Italians don't really do taxes, Rog, but when they do, it says they do it properly.
Yes. So that's the future of women's tennis. Follow Camilla Giorgi.
Excellent, excellent. What else you got? Anything else good?
Yeah, I've got one. That, I mean, remember we were talking last week about buying, what was that, your team Bromley? Remember we were talking about that?
Yes.
Now, we should still do that. I don't know if you put any work in trying to, like, get the rich, intelligent.
I've done nothing, Rog.
Grant, I'm telling you, man, this is where the goal is. So here's one this morning. Paris Hilton's brother-in-law, have you heard this story? No?
No, go on.
A certain Courtney Room, R-A-U-M, made his debut for...
Courtney Salmon?
made his debut for Lank Villa Verdinese today. That's a Portuguese team. The 45-year-old, and remember, brother-in-law of Paris Hilton, has never
45?
Played...
45?
Well, yeah. Has never played professional football in his life. But here's the quote. After investing in the club, he was given the chance to fulfil his ambitions. So this fucking chancer, you can get the idea of who he is. He buys this Portuguese second division team. And you know, he's never played football in his life, and you see in the box all his mates, again the hedge fund mates, the celebrity hangers on, they're all in there, and he comes on at half, you know, a substitute with about 10 minutes to go to play, and they're all cheering, yeah. Sadly, the team goes down. They're now in the third division. You know, and I was just thinking about this, Grant. You know, to hell with all these football documentaries. Rich guys buy a wee team and take them up there and they get promoted and everybody's in tears and you get a celebrity, Hollywood, and you make the Netflix documentary. You know what the real documentary is? Oh, follow me on this one. You buy something like Forest Green. You know that team, that Echo team?
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
You buy them, right? And then you just plaster them with Big Oil sponsors and shit like that. You know? And like you put people on the field who are notably anti-woke and everything like that, you know? And then you say, watch this documentary. You take them down. Courtney Ram took down this poor Portuguese team. He comes on with 10 minutes to go and all these bro buddies in the stands. Yo. They're down.
Rog, you have a twisted sense of humour, which is exactly why I love you.
That's where the content is. That's where the gold is. Forget these good news stories. Let's go for the bad news stories. So that was one I had.
The bad news bears.
Yeah, another one, which, of course... If we're in the same theme of absolutely not giving a shit, did you see all the Harry Kane stuff? Bayern never made it.
I saw the mock-up of him in a Man City kit. The only way Arsenal had of winning the league was to get Kane to play for Man City.
Did you not see him with the Ross from Friends thing at the prom? Did you not see that one?
Yes, I did see that.
I'm telling you, man, it is so brutal.
That was
now.
Very
it's
good.
So
that was very good.
Harry Kane doesn't win anything. He goes to a team who basically just need to turn up to win everything in Germany. You lose the league.
Runs into a yellow buzzsaw.
I sound so mean, but I mean, that's football.
I do feel bad for Kane. I have to say, I do feel bad for him, Rog. But you've got to laugh, right? You've got to laugh.
You got to laugh. Whilst we're still, you know, in this moment of end of the season commentary, Thiago Silva from Chelsea retiring. I saw Thiago Silva when he came as a very young boy to that amazing AC Milan team. At the same time that Kaká came, and that, you know, they had this link to Brazilian talent, I think through Leonardo, the old player Leonardo, who went on to PSG. But they brought Thiago Silva, and you know when you just see people that are born to play football, you know, regardless whether they're 16 or 18 or 21, you know, that was Thiago Silva. You know, similar to Wayne Rooney, as soon as you saw him at 17, you thought, this is a world-class player. So Thiago Silva, and like, he's just, this is the team with Nesta and Maldini and Cafu and Stam. And like, he just walks in and demands a position in the team. So much so that, you know, when they were struggling in midfield, he just casually moves into central midfield in that Milan team and looks as if he's Franz Beckenbauer. And, you know, then we've seen him in his whole career not put a foot out of place as a player, as a professional, as a role model. So we can't pass this week without saying, you know, Thiago Silva, very well done. And sadly, I think you're one of the last of a generation like that. There's not many in the central defence that can do what he's done. I've just loved him. Great, great player.
Yeah, no, I echo every word of that. Talking of finish football, and let's finish on football. What's the latest from north of the border with you and the liquidated rabble across the city?
What do you mean?
Another interesting game this weekend, I see.
Oh well, yeah. No, the context is Rangers, since they were liquidated in 2012, and somebody new bought their assets from the liquidator, have struggled with the realisation that they're a new team trying to catch up with the established leader of Scottish football, which is Glasgow Celtic Football Club. They have got a perception mismatch. They believe that they still are one part of the old firm, whereas they're in reality a team that's trying to catch up with another team that is significantly bigger, etc., etc. So every year, after they get beaten by Celtic, they change manager and they come up with a new narrative. We are coming, we are coming, we are coming. Rangers are back, Rangers are back. And it's quite funny because they get very excited. You know, you've got it. You know, if you've been playing in the, you know, in the wee leagues, and then you come up, because they were in the wee leagues, let's remember, they started in Division 4, and they come up, and they get overexcited. They get overexcited, and hell, we can compete. And they bring in all these new managers, and it always ends the same, and they get beat. They're just short. I mean, Celtic isn't a great team, I've said that, but Rangers are well off the pace. But they get ahead of themselves. And so yesterday they were up at Celtic Park and they got beat again. But like Arsenal and Man United, Celtic didn't get out of a second gear and beat them easily. So we win the league again. I think it's about, you know, 15 out of the last 20 or something like that we've won. And Rangers, again, we wonder whether they've got any money to make it to next season. So, you know, that's Scottish football. I don't follow it so much anymore. I don't take a lot of pleasure out of us winning these, you know, local parochial baubles. But I take a lot of pleasure out of them year after year running into a brick wall of disappointment.
Now, what about the rumours of Harry Kane to Celtic next year? What do you make of those?
No.
You, can I just ask you before we close, what's that in your hand? Are you eating a lollipop or playing the xylophone?
It's a xylophone thing. It's become one of these kind of... It's a xylophone thing. It's one of these things that you keep in your hand when you're nervous and everything like that. I do have something...
Have a xylophone, whatever it's called.
Well, it's one of these things you go when you like you go on holiday and you go to the local, you know, crafts work fair whether you're in Rio or you're in, you know, Malindi or something like that. They make these things, a xylophone, with, and you buy one, don't you? You know, like, so we've got one of these.
No.
That's terrible. You've got to support.
How many xylophones do you have?
You've got to support the tourism trade of these places.
Yes, local crafts, yes, but a xylophone?
Well, there's a little guy that's normally, you know, cut out of wood that comes from that part of the world. You know, if it's in Argentina, it'll be like in a gaucho outfit, or, you know, it'll be like, you know, in Cuba, you've got the guy with the big hat and the cigar. And they're playing a xylophone. I found that they're normally playing a xylophone, Grant. Talking about
you
these...
You do you, Roger. You do you.
The thing I did yesterday, I don't know whether you saw it or not. It was quite a long article. I was talking a little bit about the reality.
I was driving yesterday all day up to Scotland.
Yeah, you're going to North Berwick to see JC, amongst other things. Anyway, it was mainly about what smart tech could do in analysing people's digital footprint on things like Instagram and TikTok and what insight it throws out. So as we started with Man United, we'll finish with Man United. One of the insights that it throws out is that Alejandro Garnacho of Man United over-indexes in his engagement in Manchester in the UK, believe it or not. And hence, he would be an underpriced asset to use if you were wanting to market around the local Manchester area compared to some other players with bigger names who probably over-index and overseas. So that was an example. Another example, which Alicia, what's her name, Leishman? You know that Aston Villa female player, women's football? She's the big, you know, the blonde girl. She's got blonde, platinum blonde hair. I think it's Alicia Leishman. I can't remember. You know, I should know. I wrote the fucking thing. Anyway, that girl there, she's not the captain of England. But anyway, her Instagram is by far the most popular. Her engagement is off the scales, you know. And, you know, the point is, anybody that's thinking about where you take women's football and how you market it, and everything like that, you should be following these things. But the reality is that this girl, the Aston Villa player, is a pretty girl. And guess what? That's where the engagement is, Grant. You know, like, whatever way you want to cut it, and you see all these brands putting overweight models on their stuff, or, you know, I saw the Calvin Klein one recently. They had a guy pregnant with a bump being looked after by a woman. You know, the more they try and do this, the more they get away from the reality, which is certain basic things have always, in the history of the world, worked. Pretty women work. And this Aston Villa player is another example of it. You can't get away from it. Certain that the golfer, what's her name? Paige. What's her name? The one that you don't like. Paige. Spiriak.
Spiriak.
Same thing. You know, like, she's probably much more popular than 99% of the guys on the PGA Tour. Go figure, you know? That's the world, mate.
Yeah,
anyway.
Can't argue with it. All right, matey, well, we've reached the end of the hour, so it's probably time to fold up our tents and disappear again for another week or two. So thanks, as always, for doing this. Thanks for doing it early. I can hear the bells chiming out there, so it must be 8 o'clock. Now, thanks to you, as always, for listening. If you don't follow us on social media, you can do that very easily. You'll find us at EntertainedR, that's the word A-R-E. You'll find me at TTMYGH.
And you'll find me at RPM Como, as in the lake.
As in Syria.
As in Syria.
All right, my friend.
Take care.
Have a good week. I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.